Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Hello, folks. This is Bing Crosby again tonight, as every night, Monday through Friday. Glad you tuned in. We hope that what we've prepared for you will amuse and entertain you in a mild way. Here, then, is something I've always liked. Enjoyed a while of success, boys, if you will. My kind of love, your kind of love, keeps me believing, although you're deceiving. My kind of love, one way to paradise. My kind of lips, your kind of lips, when love's come stealing, encourage that feeling. My kind of love, one way up to paradise. Although you're happy today, you may be gone tomorrow. Love comes but once, don't be a dunce. When you meet it, steal it, beg or borrow. I'm fond of you, you're fond of me. Tell me you love me, hug me and squeeze me. My kind of love, one way to paradise. Oh, yeah.
Bing, here it is, February 22nd, George Washington's birthday.
That's right, Ken. Today is a legal holiday in honor of our country's first president, and it's observed in all states and territories.
How come we're working?
This is work?
Yeah.
Oh, Ken, speaking of Washington's birthday, can you tell me another tremendous event in United States history which is celebrated on February 22nd?
Oh, February 22nd? Let's see. No, I can't, Bing.
Can't come up with anything?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, Ken, for your information, on February 22nd, 1630, popcorn was first introduced into this country.
Popcorn? Oh, sure. I believe I recall the Indians brought popcorn to the first Thanksgiving.
True, Ken, and according to my information, just a few sacks were consumed on that happy day. Now, would you care to give a guess on how much popcorn was consumed in this country last year?
Quite a few tons, yeah, I'd say.
A few tons is right. Over 300 million pounds, to be exact.
The American public ate over 300 million pounds of popcorn last year?
Incredible, but it's true.
How come you know so much about popcorn,
Bing? I've been doing a little research on popcorn, Ken. A lot of exploring into the subject, because popcorn is linked with one of the great tragedies of my life.
A tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, would you care to tell us about it?
A long, sad tale, Ken.
All right, I'll run home and get my cello.
Oh, no, just stick around. This is interesting.
Really, is it?
Yeah, I was just a boy up in Spokane, just a callow youth, anxious to learn about life. And life was hard to learn about in those days because there was no Life magazine, you see. Of course, the Saturday Evening Post kept us posted.
Oh, no.
This is pretty brutal, isn't it?
Yes.
One morning, while I walked to school with a truant officer on one arm and a Texas Ranger on the other.
Texas Ranger in Spokane, Washington?
Yes, I was prone to running away from home in those days. In any event, while being dragged to school this morning, I noticed that a moving van had pulled up to a vacant house on our block, and with a quick appraisal of the household goods being unloaded, I surmised that a wealthy family was moving in because the dishes were packed in money. I paused and I looked at a $5 bill, upon which was engraved a handsome likeness of President Jefferson Davis. The Texas Ranger tipped his hat reverently as he gazed at the bill.
Naturally.
Of course, I realized that this money was worthless because only the week before I had been informed by my draft board that the war between the states was over.
Fine, Bing, but where does the popcorn come in?
I told you this was a long, long story. Anyhow, we were about to continue towards school. I heard the gleeful, girlish laughter, and turning quickly, I spied a vision. My eyes fairly popped from their sockets.
Is this a story about popped eyes or popcorn?
Patience,
come on, let's
Ken.
Get to the corn.
Be
patient.
Oh, yes, my eyes fairly popped from their sockets as I spied a pretty little girl about my own age. She was seated on an umbrella stand beside the van. Beautiful blonde curls billowed here and there on her head. Her eyes sparkled, and as she smiled, I noticed that she also had some teeth here and there. I asked about her missing teeth, and she said they were coming up on their next load.
The popcorn's coming on that load, too.
She was just kidding me, Ken. And incidentally, if I'm boring you, why don't you run over to the Brown Derby and watch television?
That's a good idea. I think I will.
Go ahead now. So long.
So long.
Well, to continue, I introduced myself, and I learned that this beautiful little girl's name was Marilyn von Collander. And from that moment on, I never knew what day it was. My thoughts were always of Marilyn, and in the ensuing few days, I turned thousands upon thousands of cartwheels in front of her house. One afternoon, she threw a skate key to me from an upstairs window, and I knew that I would always be at her feet. She asked me to call that evening, and I remember as if it were only yesterday how I dashed home, how I gulped my supper, how I dashed upstairs, took a bath, and then put on my brother Larry's tuxedo coat. It wasn't necessary to put on the trousers because the coat reached to the floor. Well, little did I realize that when I was to arrive at Marilyn's house, she was to say to me, "It's awfully warm this evening. Would you like to take off your coat?" Being a quick thinker, I didn't do this.
I think.
Well, you're back, huh, Ken?
Yeah, have I missed much?
I thought you went over to the Brown Derby to watch television.
Well, I did. I saw a couple of chapters of Rebecca of Honeymoon Hill, and a good fight, and anything going on here?
Well, Ken, Marilyn finally asked me to call on her, and she dashed down the front walk and clasped my hands as I arrived. Oh, she was a vision in the twilight. And I reeled slightly as I inhaled the scent of lavender water, which she had poured on her dress. She reeled slightly, too, as she inhaled the scent of mothballs from my brother's tuxedo.
It's a busy picture.
Isn't it? Marilyn led me to the house and into the parlor where we seated ourselves on the sofa. And then she popped the question.
She asked you to marry her?
No, she asked me if I'd like to take off my coat. You missed that part.
Yeah.
Didn't have any pants on.
Well, I better stick around for the second show.
Well, Marilyn and I sat on the sofa, hemming and hawing and blinking our eyelashes at each other for several minutes. Finally, in an effort to relieve the tension and be a good hostess, Marilyn said, "Would you care for some popcorn balls, Mr. Crosby?"
Oh, now I'm beginning to see.
You see, you thought I was making this all up, didn't you?
Yeah.
You see, well, anyhow, we went into the kitchen, and as Marilyn popped the corn, I cooked the sugar and the molasses. Well, after we'd poured the syrup onto the freshly popped corn, we mixed it with our hands and molded this sticky mess into neat spheres. As we were standing there, waiting for the popcorn to cool, I was overcome by Marilyn's beauty, and I impulsively ran my sticky fingers through her hair. It's pretty messy, isn't it? She likewise carried away, ran her sticky fingers through my hair.
Let's see what happened now.
You see? That's how it happened. Well, we stood there entranced for several moments. The molasses hardened, and we suddenly realized that we were inseparable. Marilyn's mother cut our hands loose with a pair of pinking shears, and for weeks I was the only boy in school with a scalloped haircut. Some of the rowdies even hung the nickname of Shelf Paper on me, or Mr. Pico, as they called it for a while. But I loved Marilyn, and she loved me, and names could never hurt me.
But then where does the tragedy come in?
Patience, endure a moment. Marilyn and I made and munched on popcorn balls all through that autumn, that winter, and late into the spring. The snows were melting, and one day as I walked across Marilyn's lawn, I stumbled onto a slingshot. Picking it up, I noticed the initials H.R. carved on the handle. It belonged to my hated rival, Herbert Rochford.
Herbert Rochford?
Herbert Rochford, the cad, the bounder, the toady. I gasped as I realized that he had been taking a shot at my girl one way or another. And I said nothing to Marilyn. She, as far as I could tell, was still infatuated with me, but I tried to keep up a bold front. But actually, I was sick. Jealousy.
No, I know just how you must have felt, pal.
One evening as I was sitting on my front porch doing my homework and filing away at the chain which was around my ankle, a messenger arrived with a shoebox tied with a bright red bow. I opened it eagerly, and my heart leapt with joy as I clawed away at the excelsior, uncovering a popcorn ball. I knew it was from Marilyn because I recognized her fingerprints. I munched away at it eagerly until suddenly I bit into something.
Your thumb?
No, it was a horseshoe nail ring I had slipped on Marilyn's finger to seal our engagement. Thinking the ring had fallen off accidentally into the popcorn, I continued eating with great gusto until I bit into a piece of folded notepaper. With trembling hands, I opened it to read this shattering message. "Dear Harry, it is your hated rival, Herbert Rochford, that I have decided to marry. Yours truly, Marilyn." That's it, Ken. Now you know why popcorn figured so tragically in my life.
I don't know how you ever pulled out of it, Bing.
Took a lot of courage, believe me. But now, Ken, even though my heart is heavy, I must, according to my contract, I must lift my voice into song.
You know, Bing, after hearing this, I don't think these guys, Brando, Mason, or Early, have got a chance. You're going to get the award. There's no question. This performance alone.
You're so sweet to say so, Ken. Wonderful of you.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads. And one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings about a nursery, and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We've concluded what we had planned for this evening. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you'll listen again tomorrow night, same place and same time.
This is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight to you all and reminding you that Bing Crosby can be heard Monday through Friday, transcribed from Hollywood.
The man who walks by night, people call him the Whistler, invites you to Eerie Mystery Listening every Thursday night on CBS Radio. Long a familiar figure to mystery fans on the West Coast, the Whistler now brings his rare fare to all America over most of these same stations Thursday nights. Don't miss the Whistler, telling the story of a falling out between two thieves and the amazing consequences thereof. Thursday night on The Star's Address. Stay tuned now for the Amos and Andy Music Hall.